following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of News Talk 600 and 100.3 WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. That can only mean this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live, as always, to take your questions and talk about current things. Welcome, everyone. If you're a regular listener, we appreciate it. If you're new, hope you can stick around for the hour and see if we can all learn something from each other. Those of you who know us well know one thing. The rules here are very simple. Callers to the head of the line. Good morning, Bob.
How are you this morning?
Absolutely wonderful. Sunny and bright, all that stuff. And you?
Nice to live in Florida this time of year.
This is the reason we do it, I think.
Yep.
Love it. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, in this seemingly never-ending campaign season that we're in, every candidate is talking about taxes, and they all have a tax reform plan, and they're going to do away with the IRS and implement a flat tax or a fair tax or in some way drastically change the tax scenario, which I certainly applaud, but it's a little confusing, the landscape of what really a fair tax is versus a flat tax. I'm not really sure myself. So when you listen to these guys, it doesn't mean as much as it could if you don't understand the terms. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that and clarify that for me.
I got to start on this last week, this very topic, and I realize that any discussion like this sort of gets complicated in a hurry, and really ferreting out the important points is difficult. So I was going to revisit today, and I'm glad you got this discussion started for that reason. Fundamentally, what does it take to change the tax system? An act of Congress. I like that one, but hey, that's just me. The problem with what people are saying is that it's unworkable, and I think I have pretty much proven, I know I've proven to my satisfaction, why all these proposals are unworkable. I'll give it to you in a nutshell, my opinion, and then if you don't mind, we'll go back and I'll start in again after we do some market wrap. But sure. Hopefully you can listen for a while. The fundamental problem is that people do not understand that most of the tax code is devoted to one thing. That's the calculation of your taxable income. Anyone can derive their taxes given two numbers, taxable income and the tax rate. Multiply them together, you got taxes. That's that. So when they're saying, and Cruz is the one that's on this more than anybody else, he's saying, we'll use a flat tax and get rid of the IRS. Well, you can't. You absolutely can't, because the IRS is not there so much to police the fact that you paid the taxes that were calculated as the very last step in your filing. They are there to look at what you declared for income. If you're self-employed, if you have a small business, if you have a few employees, all these things are aimed at the calculation of income. That's what IRS does. There's only one thing in this world that I have ever heard of that eliminates the calculation of income. That is the fair tax. And that's why I'm going to make the argument again today that if you really, really care about tax reform, that Herman Cain and others are right when they say you have to replace it, and the fair tax is the only way. So that said, if you can stick around for a while.
That's essentially the same percentage for everybody, regardless of their taxable income?
That's a flat tax.
That's a flat tax.
And it's dependent on your taxable income. The fair tax does not tax income. It taxes expenditures. It's truly a sales tax, but the way it works is so unique that it really has to be explained. And it has been studied to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars over decades, literally. There have been books written on it, which I'll get into. And it truly is the most remarkable thing. Everyone I've ever talked to who read the book came back totally and completely changed. I did. I read the book the day it came out and read it again the next day. It was so important to me. Sent it to my mother. She read it. She got overnighted. She was changed. It's really, really a powerful, wonderful thing, the way it works, and it releases people from the bondage in which we're held by the IRS. In that regard, Cruz is right. Getting rid of the IRS is a wonderful thing. He's wrong about how. So if that can get us started, is that good enough for now? Stay
Absolutely.
Tuned.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
I'll hang up and listen for further discussion about it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Take care.
And that was very fortunate because that's how I wanted to kick off the show. But let's back up a little bit.
There was one thing that Bob mentioned that it's really complicated, no matter how you look at it. When you start talking tax code, you can't have a simple discussion about it. It's almost impossible.
And although I was saying it somewhat kiddingly, it truly is the truth. How do you change the tax code? It takes an act of Congress.
It does, and that's because right now, I think there's 74,000 pages of the current tax code.
Yep. And how do you get an act of Congress? The people have to speak.
Right.
And they have to speak loudly. So we're going to spend some more time on that today, and I promise everybody that I will try to keep it simple, and I'll make it a very special birthday present to my wife, Adam's mother. They both have birthdays today, which is not unusual since it's the same person.
Yep. Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah. Happy birthday, my bride of 43 years and change. All right. Anyway, back to business at hand. Not all radio shows are created equal, as we know. In fact, thank you very much to Angela and Howard, who gave us a nice plug as I was driving in today, talking about the fact that we are also a live show as they are. And therefore, we can take callers. Most of the financial shows you hear are not done live. You can tune in, and you're going to hear what the host wants you to hear, and you're not going to hear anything else. Well, this is different. If you want to take some control of what goes on here, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. And whatever your question is what we will talk about. And as I hope I just proved with Bob, the callers always have the upper hand here. We'll get to them as soon as we can when they call in. So don't worry about having to hang on the phone for a long time. That will not happen. Back to current stuff. I don't want to miss this because, once again, we actually had some fun this week.
We did, but we only have about a minute before the break.
That's fine. You just pick it up after.
All right. Well, so we're now 12 days into March. And what do you know? It's been a great month. The S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ are all up over 4% in the month of March. And this comes on the heels of the worst start ever to a year in the stock market.
And it's only the 12th.
For the year now, the Dow and the S&P are now down just over 1%, if you can believe that. And the NASDAQ is just over 5%. I mean, we were talking about bear territory not a month ago. And look where we are today. It's absolutely crazy.
It is indeed, and as I said, very pleasant.
Yeah, that 5% on the NASDAQ, it's mainly due to biotech and tech, which are two of the sectors that haven't recovered as quick as some of the others that are heavier in the Dow and the S&P, and that's why you're seeing it down so much further.
So why does everybody hate this market? That's something we're going to get into right after the break. I've never seen so many people who are so afraid of a market that's going up.
That makes me love it.
Well, that exactly encompasses my feelings about the thing, because we are nothing if not a little bit contrarian.
Absolutely.
Trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales of First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Out of every 10 Americans, how many admit that they're reluctant, that they're unhappy about how long they've waited to start saving for retirement? Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Has your health insurance changed, or is it about to change? Are you, or did you move to a different state, change jobs, get a divorce, get married, or have a baby? Then you know what? You may qualify for a special health insurance enrollment period for the affordable Obamacare plans. And to find the right plan, you can get free help right now from Health Markets. They'll help you choose the right plan from over 140 different companies, plus help you maximize your Obamacare free government subsidies. Why pay a penny more than you have to for health insurance? Call anytime, day or night, to learn more about the special enrollment period to qualify for Obamacare. Here's our number. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. Not available in all states.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-297-1665. That's 1-800-297-1665. 1-800-297-1665. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call.
Call 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293. 800-965-1293.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I want to, again, welcome all the new people. If you're driving by and happen to have the radio on, or if someone told you about it, I hope you enjoy the show and can stick around. And to all the regulars, thanks so much for being here. We have a lot to talk about today. And we're going to start by returning back to Adam and the Market Wrap, because it was just so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. So this week we saw the Dow and the S&P climb a little over 1%, and the NASDAQ climb a little under 1%. NASDAQ seems to be the laggard this year, as I had mentioned earlier. But there's no reason that that couldn't reverse itself sometime this year, and it probably will at some point.
It was heavily oversold. The whole market was. It was more so.
So we've now seen four straight weeks of gains in the S&P, and it's pretty clearly in reach of its 200-day moving average, which... For those chartists out there or people that don't know, that is a pretty bullish signal. If it were to cross that and continue that climb upwards, that would be a pretty huge sign. The big moves up were pretty fitting this week as we mark the 7-year anniversary of the current bull market.
During the anniversary bull.
Yeah. During that time, the gains in the S&P have been led by consumer discretionary stocks, followed somewhat closely by financials, industrials, and technology. The lowest performing sector... I'll give you one guess.
Let's see. Starts with an E and ends in energy.
Yeah, energy. Our old friend energy. Although this year,
or at least in the last month, the story has been the complete opposite. Energy has been shooting up. So
you gave all the reasons that it had to happen over the last few weeks. Supplies automatically start to go down because production goes down when people can't make any money. It is an absolute inevitability that it would turn around. The only thing we can't tell you is when and how far.
Definitely. So one of the reasons the rally continued this week, and specifically on Friday, was that the chairman of the European Central Bank, his name is Mario Draghi, he's like the Janet Yellen of Europe, he decided to lower He decided to lower their interest rates even further in hopes of stimulating the European economy. He also announced that they would be pumping more money into the banking system and they would purchase corporate bonds, something that he's never done before. So regardless of what your feelings are on negative or zero interest rate policy, you have to remove those thoughts from your head and just say, well, how is this going to affect stocks? And as we've seen here in the U.S., it's going to be good. The market loves that type of move by the Fed.
Yep, and it is one of the primary reasons to use an independent financial advisor. I mentioned before the break, people are so afraid of this market. I've never seen more fear in this market that's rising. It's very strange, but everybody's waiting for that final shoe to drop, I guess. It doesn't matter if you agree with Fed policy, with ECB policy, because Lord knows, I don't.
And nor do I.
What matters is what the market is looking for and its reaction, which is strongly positive.
Mm-hmm. And there's lots of data to prove that. You can look to any number of countries, but all you really have to do is look here over the last 7 years, and you can see what lowering interest rates and pumping money into the economy does for stocks. I mean, it's pretty obvious when we're in the midst of a seven-year bull run.
I have a very scholarly article in my hand right now that claims that the Fed has caused 93% of the entire stock market's move since 2008. No one should ever have that much control. But here again, they do. Get over it. I told Adam at the break, I hate the expression, it is what it is. But it is.
What are you going to do about it?
You're going to do one of two things. You're going to ignore it at your own risk.
Don't do that.
That encompasses or entails a lot of opportunity cost. Or you're going to go with the flow. The momentum is there. The trend is your friend, as we say in the market. And right now, we have a definite trend. Can it change? Yes. Will it change? Yes. What day? I'll let you know afterwards.
So it was a pretty light week in economic data. Only 8 reports came out. 4 of them missed, 3 of them beat, and one of them doesn't have a forecast. It's just a reported number. So this reverses next week with 23 different reports being released. The two most important, in my opinion, next week are the CPI and the PPI, and those are the Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index. They basically say whether or not there's inflation. And right now, the Fed is really looking at inflation, as is the market, to see if the Fed is going to raise rates, perhaps in this month or sometime in June. And if those numbers start creeping up, which we did see a rise in gas prices over the past week or two. So
considerable.
Yeah. So we may start actually admitting to inflation, and that would cause further rate hikes, which could cause some more volatility in the market. So keep an eye on those two reports next week. They could be pretty important.
Yeah, how will the market react to a Fed rate hike?
That's a good question.
I tell you, my opinion, it'll react short term.
Yeah, well, define short term. I mean, are
could
we talking
a couple
a month,
of days of
couple days
bad market trading?
Yeah, it's not going to like it initially.
But it's funny to me that one of the biggest fears people have had, and I've never been one of them, and I've always laughed at them and poo-pooed them, one of the biggest fears people have is deflation. But you can't really have deflation in an arena where money is being printed. The definition of inflation is an increase in the supply of money beyond the increase in the demand. That's what happens. It starts to cost more dollars to buy something. That's a result of inflation. That is not the definition of inflation. Deflation, should it happen, and they're very worried about it in Europe, what happens then is producers don't produce because they know if they wait longer, they'll do it cheaper. Consumers don't consume because if you buy it now, you're going to pay more than you buy it later. Well, these things have never really been a problem in this country. It looked to some people like it might become a problem, but that problem was really nothing more than a reflection of the worldwide energy prices dropping. Well, okay, now we're sitting there and watching this whole thing reverse. It has to trickle down to the numbers. Will it happen this month? I suspect it will, because it actually started last month.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to listen to the media and you have to read, because the media will report the number that sounds the best. If it's the core rate, which means it excludes food and energy, if that goes up the least or goes down, that's what they will report. But if it's the overall number and that goes up the least or goes down because it includes energy falling, that's what they'll report. And every other month, you might be looking at a different number than the month before, and they will not tell you that.
No, they sure won't. It's all about getting the best news story.
It is indeed. And I object to it and a lot of other things, but that's the world we live in. That's the investment world we live in. And that's what we try to do, is take a step back for us, the listeners, and our clients, basically all day, every day, and say, okay, what's the real thing that's going on that affects the market? It's not our personal opinions. It's not all the stupidity as I see it out there. It's not all the rioters in Chicago. They're not going to affect the market one little bit. It's a terrible thing, but they're not going to. What matters is what the market thinks about what's going on, and that's where we are. So what do you see? Just continued sliding up like we are now?
In the market or in...
In the market.
In the market, yeah. That would be my guess in the short run. Obviously, there are a lot of things that could throw a wrench into that, including, as we talked about earlier, a Fed rate hike. That would obviously not... if that happens, kind of all bets are off. You just don't know how the market will react to something like that. But barring any really big news or something unusual coming out in the economic data next week, I don't see any reason for the current environment to not continue through the next week or so.
Yeah, and here's some advice that's good 52 weeks a year. Watch your asset allocation.
Absolutely.
Do not try to jump on the bandwagon for gold, silver, oil, and all that. You have some? If not, you might want to get some.
Well, and that brings me to my last point. Oil climbed 7% this week, bringing the total increase to about 48% in the last month. So if you think you're jumping in on it early, you're not. You've already missed 48%.
Well, 48% of something
so
that small isn't very much. You look at historical prices, we got a lot of upside left.
That being said, but it could also reverse course right now and start dropping.
That's the old buy on dips.
It's not. There's no guarantee. Yeah. No.
Well, there never are. You try to be practical. Try not to let your head and your heart talk to each other. If you do everything by your heart, you're probably going to make some serious mistakes. If you let your head take over, you can be a lot more practical.
Yeah. One thing about trading this week, too, is the only really big volatile day we saw was Tuesday. We saw it go up 100, down 100, and end flat. I think it was Tuesday. And then Friday, we saw a big rally, but it held the whole day. So one volatile trading day out of five is really a vast improvement over a few months ago when we were seeing about 4 to 5 volatile days out of five. So
that is definitely the
truth. I like this market a lot better than I did 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, me too. All right. I hope everybody didn't make any dramatic mistakes by missing this little run-up. And if you don't get anything else out of listening to the show, just remember what we say. Watch what the market's doing and try not to react viscerally on your own. If you need to call somebody and talk you down off the ledge, you can do that. We'll tell you how after the break. All right, out of every 10 Americans, how many admit that they have waited too long or did wait too long to start saving for retirement? And you might guess it's a pretty big number. When we come back, we'll wrap up a few things, and then we'll get back into the discussion of taxes. Taxes and politics and how one affects the other and the other affects one, and why most people are wrong and why I am correct, as usual. Hey, you should see the look on his face. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Traffic and weather. Updated on the stories that matter. We've got you covered. AM 600 and FM 100.3. WVOB Jacksonville.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The political world keeping a close eye on Donald Trump's campaign events after the Republican presidential candidate was forced to cancel a Chicago rally over fears of violence, with many protesters turning out. It was a raucous scene last night in Chicago when Trump called off the rally due to safety concerns after anti-Trump protesters packed the arena where he was set to speak. A prison in southern Alabama is on lockdown after violence erupted at the facility late yesterday. A prison spokesman says two prison officials were stabbed, but their injuries were not life-threatening. The Alabama Department of Corrections says the warden and a corrections officer were stabbed after prisoners tried to take control of one of the dormitories. New York State police say one person is dead after a tugboat sank in the Hudson River north of New York City early this morning. Police say searchers are looking for two more people who were on board at the time. The 90-foot tugboat went down after hitting something in the water near the new Tappan Zee Bridge that's being built. This is SRN.
I love this phrase that's going around now. Conservative purists. Sounds like a Marxist or a leftist, or a former Marxist or leftist. Conservative purists. All of a sudden, the term conservatism is relative. Wow, I'll tell you what, that's crazy. Is the word liberty relative too? Has that changed? Is the phrase private property right, is that relative too?
Mark Levin, weeknights at 6 on News Talk WBOB.
Listen to Donald Trump.
I love the poorly educated.
That's really what Donald Trump is all about. He thinks we're fools. When his Atlantic City casinos went bankrupt, Trump used sleazy bankruptcy laws to avoid paying workers.
I love the poorly educated.
He banned disabled veterans from his high-rise, calling them a detriment to the city.
I love the poorly educated.
He even tried to use eminent domain to kick a widow from her home. Why? Because Trump wanted to demolish her home and turn it into a limousine parking lot for his Trump casino. Donald Trump puts himself first and us last. Defeat Donald Trump.
I love the poorly educated.
Conservative Solutions PAC paid for and is responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.conservativesolutionspac.com.
The year was 1957, and the top movie that year was Bridge on the River Kwai, and the top TV show was Gunsmoke. 1957 was also the year that the Bogers family opened their shoe store on Park Street in Jacksonville, Florida. Since then, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. Boger Shoes specializes in extra wide width shoes, and they offer free evaluations and fittings by two board-certified podorthists on staff. With your doctor's prescription, they can custom make orthopedic shoes and inserts in their on-site lab. Boger Shoes also carries many popular brands like Birkenstock, New Balance, Dansko, SAS, and Clarks, just to mention a few. Boger Shoes also carries those hard-to-find hard-bottom baby shoes. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoe success since 1957. Stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger's difference. Your feet will thank you.
WBOB traffic and weather.
Yeah, that disabled vehicle is still hanging out at 95 southbound beyond US 90, blocking the right shoulder. Also, as for crashes, there's one over in Yulee, Nassau County, US 17 at State Road 200. As for the weather, partly sunny today, looking for high 82, mostly cloudy tonight, low 67. A little bit of rain tomorrow afternoon, otherwise mostly cloudy, breezy, high of 81. 74, Newstalk AM 600, FM 100.3, WBOB.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Everybody knows if you've stuck your nose out the window or walked out the door, spring's here, folks. Things are really starting to cook out there. I'm watching everything turn green, loving every minute of it. You are going to need some help one of these first days, so call Troy at 662-9794.
I'm pretty sure he's taking care of my house and listening to our show right now.
I would not be a bit surprised. Well, as we always say and as we always try to mean, callers first. Good morning, David.
Good morning. It's Captain Dave.
Captain Dave, how is that Jamaica farewell?
Just doing fine. That stock market is still good.
You know, anyway, I couldn't help but think about you the last few days because your little pet is growing in stature.
Yeah. Anyway, my world is turning yellow. I don't know if your world is turning green. My world is turning yellow.
I don't know. I got a whole rainbow going on. What's happening?
Oak pollen. Oak pollen. Anyway, did you see the debate on Thursday night? I guess you did, huh?
I watched about a half an hour of it. I've been sort of getting an earful and an eyeful, and I'm kind of fed up with the whole thing, although I understand this one is much better.
Yeah, well, the reason I called, did you see the ad for the Viatical company?
No, I did not.
I can't think of the name of it, but this couple's sitting there, and it's like the reverse mortgage ad, except they're talking about selling their life insurance.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Selling off the life insurance, sure.
Yeah, I can't believe the Viaticals are back again.
Ah, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing ever goes away completely.
No doubt.
For those who don't know, the Viatical industry buys life insurance. It developed when AIDS was first becoming a problem in the 80s. So when long before we had the cocktails that have been just so successful in prolonging lives, what was happening was that people who were getting the HIV and some of them had a full-blown AIDS, if they had life insurance, they'd sell it to a Viatical company. This was a direct sale. They'd sell the thing and use the money for their treatments. Well, nowadays it's something like 17 cents a day, so it's not a big deal anymore. But the Viatical companies started marketing to individual investors, and they were selling shares in their Viaticals. Well, then one day, the medicine got good, and people stopped dying. And the Viaticals were sitting there holding the bag with no income coming in, and their investors got taken to the cleaners. This ad now, it's a direct selling. It's not to invest in a Viatical company. It's to do it yourself. That's step one in this whole thing trying to come back.
So yeah, you're right. As I said, I had some experience with Viatical because one of the people I do computer work for was selling Viaticals. But that company went up and class action suit and everything you can think of. So, but anyway, I just wondered if we had talked about it before. I just wondered if you had seen it. And here we go again.
I have seen the ad, and I'm just like you. I shake my head and say, there's just nothing new under the sun, is there?
But it's just like,
all right, guys, you take it easy. Always good talking to you.
Thanks, Captain Dave.
Be good.
Bye.
It's just like everything else. It actually has started out serving a really good purpose, right. and it still can. It's not just for HIV/AIDS. It's also for cancer or sure. any other terminal illness that you might be faced with and can't afford, say, an experimental treatment or something that isn't covered by your insurance. You can still sell your life insurance and get the money and try that treatment. And who knows? It might work. It might not. But it started with good intentions. And yeah. then...
And now this one is bleeding over. Many of you have seen the ad, I'm sure. And this is a healthy couple who just wants to supplement their retirement income.
Now, that is, I don't know if I could
My
get on
question,
board with that.
If they came into the office and had a meeting with the two of us, we would ask them very simply, why do you have life insurance? What is it you are protecting? Most people have an end to their need for life insurance at some point. Most of those people buy term insurance. They just stop paying one day and it goes away. These folks are even talking about buying your term policy. This is a little strange. This is not a traditional way to finance an improved retirement. Is it all bad? No, I don't think it is all bad. You have to take each of these cases individually and say, look, if you truly no longer have a need for it, are you still paying into it? And if you are, could you stop paying into it? And if you could, then do you really need to take out of it? Would, do you have a purpose in life that includes leaving a legacy to your heirs? Well, if not, why do you have life insurance? You've been paying a lot of money for years, maybe, and not needing it. I am a much bigger proponent of the reverse mortgage for several reasons. And again, it's all individual. You have to ask all the right questions. Is there any chance in the world that your family or your heirs would want your home? If no, let's start talking about a reverse mortgage. It, all of these things have to be treated as individual questions.
And the other thing is, if you have life insurance, would it be a better deal to use that life insurance to pay off your reverse mortgage for your kids? So you have to really look at it from every angle before you make those big, big planning decisions.
That's a problem with a TV ad. It's a problem with a live radio show. Trying to generalize advice never really works, which is why in our disclaimers, you'll say, this is not advice we're giving. It's information we're giving. What I always have said in my 14 or so years on the radio, I tell people, my job here is not to tell you what to do. It's to tell you what can be done so we can talk about whether or not it works for you. And that's, I hope, what everybody takes away from this. All right, anyway, the long national nightmare begins again. It's almost April 15th, which is actually, what, April 18th this year?
Actually, I'm not sure about that. I'd have to look.
Yeah, it's been extended for a couple things. But anyway, the point is, that day is coming. We all dread it. Last week, I brought up a couple of my favorite quotes on the subject. One of them is from Albert Einstein. The hardest thing in the world to understand is the income tax. From a guy who understood quite a bit, including a few things that I don't understand. Quite a few. And he was recently proven right once again. Another one, Arthur Godfrey, a guy that, if you're my age, you remember and remember very fondly. I'm proud to be paying taxes in the United States. The only thing is, I could be just as proud for half the money. Love that one. And then there's Lyndon Johnson. No radical right-winger, that one. In 1790, the nation which had fought a revolution against taxation without representation discovered that some of its citizens weren't much happier about taxation with representation. And is that ever the truth? We know, because we all have to live through it. The preparation and filing of income taxes is one of the most time-consuming, difficult, expensive, and I argue useless things that we all have to undertake on an annual basis. I do applaud all of the candidates, on at least on the Republican side, who are aware of the complexity and the onerous nature of the income tax, and therefore they want to change it. They are all, in my opinion, misdirected. Backing up a little bit, the two proposals on the other side, on the Democrat side, Hillary and Bernie, they just want to do more of the same and raise it for people making money. I'm not even going to dignify that. It isn't worth my time, and it's certainly not worth yours. But the people like Cruz and others who want to change the tax to what's called a flat tax system, they have a wonderful idea. Steve Forbes has been a proponent of this, has written books on it, a guy I admire very much. But they're all wrong. And the reason they're wrong is because the income tax system isn't called an after income tax or spending tax or anything like that. The income is not something that is a number for most people. It's a number that is developed, and sometimes it's developed throughout a whole great deal of complexity. That complexity is embodied in the 74,000 plus pages of the tax code. You can't compute your taxes until you compute your income. If you have a sub-S corporation, if you have a limited liability corporation, if you're a sole proprietorship, if you have any employees, if you have any investments, on, it is a complicated thing. We are up on a break. I'm going to discuss this further in a few minutes. Please don't go away. I'm going to try to keep it simple, but it's a very important conclusion. Trivia question. Out of every 10 Americans, how many of them admit that they started saving too late? It's quite a few. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-750-4356.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-750-4356. That's 1-800-750-4356.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. This is our exclusive radio offer never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait.
800-738-1912. 800-738-1912. 800-738-1912. That's 800-738-1912.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have been having a discussion off air during the break about the tax code. And it's truly incredible that no one, at least in my many, many, many years of working with these things, no one really came to the same conclusion I did, which is that the whole income tax system, 74,000 pages worth of it, really isn't about your taxes. It's about your income. If you have a W-2 job and you get a W-2 and that's all you've got for financial complexity in your life, good, you're done. Plug it in. It'll tell you how much you pay, which is probably nothing, and go away. But let's say you are a sole proprietor with a little business, or you have a couple employees or a couple of contract employees. Let's say you buy a couple of rental properties for long term. The IRS is there not to tell you what tax you owe. They're there to tell you what part of that is taxable income. Depreciation schedules, that sort of thing. What can you not deduct? If you sell the properties later, how much do you have to claim? Doing taxes, and my CPA has verified that I am correct about this, doing taxes is a process of calculating your income. Any moron can tell you, if you give them your income, what you owe. You just look it up on the tax table. Very simple. So if you are paying a flat tax, which is just a single rate applied to taxable income, the operative part of that is income. You have to compute your taxable income. If you get rid of the IRS, what's going to happen? Well, everybody's going to take every deduction from their gross income that they want to, basically. So none of us will have an income if we're smart. We'll just subtract everything we spend on it. There is no policing because there's no IRS. Well, how do you get rid of that? The flat tax doesn't do it because you still have to compute that taxable income. Long time ago, I think it was in the late 70s, a group of people, very smart, very wealthy people, got together in Texas, and they started concocting. They started with the premise that the income tax is bad. We all agree on that. In fact, all the candidates agree on that. The way it works, it just keeps getting more and more complicated. It was actually quite simple back then. You got to see how it's grown since then. I've got a chart on it. Anyway, they said, what is a more appropriate way to tax people? And they came to the conclusion after a lot of study that the appropriate way to tax people is on consumption, basically a sales tax. Well, there's a lot of things, a lot of complexity in the concept, even though it's very simple. First off, no one cares anymore what your income is. How much money you got in your pocket, how much money you got in your checking account, how much money you put on a credit card, that's the only thing that matters. It's what you spend. So if two people have an identical income and one of them doesn't buy anything, the other one does. The second one pays taxes. The first one doesn't. Of course, you might starve to death. But we took care of that, too, because everybody gets what's called a prebate. There's a certain amount of money you get every month, every family in America. Just like I get my Social Security check, you'd get this. Just like people get their welfare checks or people get this and that. Retirement checks from the government. Everybody gets a prebate. And all that does is offset the fair tax that's embedded into what you buy. And what do I mean by embedded? Let's say right now that you bought something that's made in America. What's made in America nowadays? Cheese, maybe. Let's make it a little more complicated.
I had to really think about that. What is made in America?
I was thinking about that all the way out here as I was driving. What example could I use for something that's made in America?
Oh, I know. Foreign cars.
That's very true. Foreign cars. There's about 385,000 people in this country who assemble cars for foreign manufacturers. And I think that was before Chrysler actually became a foreign company. Anyway, let's say you bought a car and it was made in Indiana. What did you pay for the car? Let's throw out a number, $30,000. Okay. How much of that is actually paying taxes for the people who made the tires, for the people who made the oil, for the people who machine the metal parts, for the people who did the stamping, people who produced the paint, people who made the glass? All those people run businesses manufacturing components, and each one of them has this problem called the income tax. 35% on your taxable money if you're a corporation. What would happen if they didn't have income tax? Do you think they'd pocket that 35%, or do you think the competitive environment would probably cause them to lower their prices?
I think for about a week they'd try and pocket it until the competitive pressure got to them, and then they'd have to keep up.
And especially if one of the great international retailers of the world decided that they were going to immediately put into effect the new pricing based on the lack of a 28% embedded income tax.
And maybe one of the big online retailers followed suit.
They'd have to, because nobody can afford to not be competitive in this arena. So look at the average thing that you buy new as including about 28% of its cost in embedded taxes. So you go over to the Subaru dealer or whatever, and you buy a car. So you give them a bunch of money. What do they do with it? They pay taxes on it. That wouldn't happen either. So if you reduce the cost of everything you buy by the embedded taxes, you get about a 23% savings overall. And these are not my numbers, folks. They're in the book from a long study. So everything now is 23% cheaper. Okay, but now we are not funding the government. How do you fund the government? You embed in the final price of that thing the 22 or 23% fair tax. What does that mean? Well, step A, you lower the cost of it. Step B, you put it right back where it was. Only now, the only taxes being paid are at the retail level. You buy the car yesterday for $30,000. You have paid all these people their tax rate and all the embedded parts of the car. You buy it today, and it's a fair tax. You pay the same amount of money. 28% goes to the government, and none of the suppliers ever had a tax bill. They did not have legions of accountants. They did not have IRS people in their building all the time. Did you know that of the great large companies in this country, most of them have in their corporate offices an office or a suite of offices full-time staffed by IRS agents? Did you know that? What a ridiculous way to run a railroad, in my opinion. So what happened now? We just changed the entire cost structure of everything you buy at the retail level. We didn't raise it. We didn't lower it. We just changed the structure. But what did we do for your paycheck? No more withholding. No more FICA. No more any of those things that reduce your paycheck, except voluntary things like your 401k. Oh, wait. I remember. There is no 401k. Because the only reason you have a 401k is to defer your income taxes. But there are no income taxes. Why do I know there's no income taxes? Because part of the bill, H.R. 25 and S-25, which are the fair tax bill in front of Congress, has been for years, it goes into effect the exact same moment that the 16th Amendment is fully repealed. We cannot have both a fair tax and an income tax. It is verboten in the language of the Act. Does the government make more or less money? The argument goes right now that cateris paribus, as we say in economics, all things being equal, the government gets exactly what it gets now. It's revenue neutral. In reality, how much underground economy do we have in this country where things are traded back and forth, purchased for cash, cash is never recognized for income tax? There's a lot of money floating around out there, folks, that's never subjected to income tax. Everything that's purchased with all that cash is now subject to the fair tax if it's new. So you've got a world with more money, you got the same cost structure, and April 15th is another spring day. All of the CPAs, all of the tax accountants, all of the H&R blocks and all that, they will find other work because, trust me, the economy would explode. There would be so, so much for these people to do. It is a difficult concept. It is unbelievable for us who've grown up in this system to conceive of a world where the income tax didn't exist. I really strongly suggest you go to the bookstore, go to Amazon or whatever, and look for the book called The Fair Tax Book. Download it or buy it and read it cover to cover. And if you are not as impressed as I am when you're done, then call me. I'll work on you. Because it is the only way, folks. Nothing else works. I have proven it to my satisfaction. I hope to prove it to yours. All right, 9 out of every 10 Americans are very sorry they waited too long to start saving for retirement. I really, really wish I could say that I'm surprised, but the only thing that surprises me about that is that 9 out of 10 admit it, and the other 10 are probably guilty just as well. All right, we got to get out of here, I fear. Thanks for listening. See us again next week, same time, same station. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Have a great weekend.